St. Thomas says in Matthew 24, 36, I didn't know St. Thomas wrote Matthew's gospel. That's cool.
Bro, come on. You didn't know that?
He's like, come on. And so, however, no one knows the day or the hour. Ah, it's the day or the hour.
Yeah.
Verse. Okay. When Jesus is speaking Jesus is speaking anthropomorphically. Why does the Son speak in this way? Is it to express that he receives all from the Father? So do you have a particularly strong take, Astro, on which interpretation to use of Matthew 24:36?
Okay. So I've heard that there are two interpretations. One comes from St. Basil, where he says that the reason that the Greek actually says that it's not that Son doesn't know the hour, it's that the Son wouldn't know if the Father did not know. So St. Basil reads this in that fashion, in the manner that there's an eternal generation, and the Son knows precisely because the Father knows. So yeah, that's one interpretation. But the other interpretation is that, no, it's not referring to eternal generation, but that the Son is unwilling to reveal the hour, which is the interpretation of St. Gregory the Great in his letter to Patriarch of Alexandria. And he gives Act 1:7, where our Lord says that it's not for you to know the hour that the Father has set forth by his own authority. So, yeah, there are two interpretations. And there is another one which says, yeah, the Son does not know the hour in his human nature, but that's not really, I don't think that would be true. I think it's just false because St. Thomas didn't hold that view.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was reflecting this morning on something St. Thomas says in Prima Pars Question. Let me see if I can share my screen. So after that interpretive, let's actually do some good theological reflection here. So Adam, when does he talk about this? State concerning the intellect, so it would be question 94, whether he knew all things. So basically what he says here is that Adam had to know everything that was requisite for being the father of all men, because he needed to be able to pass on knowledge. He needed to be able to teach. He needed to be equipped in his role to know all things. Know all things that he needed to know. That's a very important caveat. Mm-hmm. So Adam didn't know like the amount of stones in a stream or whatever, but he knew the names of all things, for example, or the natures of all things in which he could name them from. So when it comes to Christ is the head of his mystical body.
Yeah,
also needs to know all things for that role, and that role of interceding with the Father. On our behalf, that role of offering a propitiation for mankind, those roles require that he not be ignorant of anything that a man could know, because he is redeeming man and drawing him up to a supernatural state. So, theologically speaking, it's really, frankly, ridiculous to deny, to take the agnoite position. And to say that Christ is ignorant of things like the day or the hour, whatever.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I've heard that Saint Athanasius held that view.
Really? It doesn't surprise me. It seems like earlier. So there's an interesting essay from Newman, actually, on this. Mm-hmm. Let me pull it off my shelf. If I can ever remember where it is. Oh, here it is. Roman Catholic Writings on Doctrinal Development. So Newman, he talks about this in terms of, on his essay, De Catholici Dogmatis Evolutione. Where is he? He talks about this basically in terms of errors that could be widely held amongst church fathers. It's actually a really good essay. Man, I'm just going to sit here and just keep saying, okay. Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Dang, it's not there. I will find it. Oh no. If I don't find this, it's going to be horrible. Dang, this is such a rip. Oh yeah, you guys are just gonna sit here for like 3 minutes just watching me try to look through this book in vain for the section in which he talks about this. Here it is. Oh, so true. I found it. Okay. So this is thesis 9. Thus it will appear, and fittingly enough, that since truth is one and given to the church from the beginning, even those not quite Catholic things that Catholics have brought forth will generally strike so uncertain and ambiguous a note that, in any serious manner, they prove amenable to pious interpretation. This is really important, I think, with the discussion surrounding the Immaculate Conception, whether St. Thomas believed it or not, is even if you're going to take the position that St. Thomas doesn't teach it, when it comes to those things that are difficulties, the difficulties usually are so ambiguous that they're liable to pious interpretation, which we should piously interpret things. I won't say the details, but somebody did ask me to debate somebody on whether St. Thomas believe the Immaculate Conception or not, and that just struck me like very wrong. Like you're asking me basically to like uncover my father's nakedness, from the Book of Genesis. You're asking me to just like say, hey, let's take this point of whether one of my fathers was a heretic, and let's put this out there in front of everybody to judge.
Yeah.
That's just not the sort of disposition of a Catholic when it comes to our fathers in the faith. They're liable to pious interpretation. So he continues saying, one example should suffice for this thesis. It is well known among serious students of theology that some of the fourth century fathers spoke of the knowledge of Christ's soul in such a way as to suggest that they did not believe it to have been perfect from the very moment of his conception in Mary's womb, but to have begun growing as he advanced in age, as the evangelist says. It is Catholic dogma. Notice he says it's Catholic dogma.
Yeah.
It's Catholic dogma that the man or human nature assumed by the word did not have, abstractly speaking, or in first act, as they say, perfect knowledge, but that really, or in second act, he did have it, because man was deified in the word. Christ as a man would never have been ignorant of anything a man could know. As Gregory the Great expresses it, he knew in the nature, but not from the nature of his humanity. What did Athanasius write before the heretical agnoite arose concerning the day of judgment? Quote, that hour in which all will end, he knew as the word, but as man, he was ignorant of it, for ignorance is a property of man. Mindful of this, in similar texts of Athanasius and others, Batavius writes, quote, some Catholics, including some of great fame and distinction in the church, attributed ignorance to the man Christ, especially ignorance about the final day and last judgment. Examples are Athanasius, Gregory Nazianzen, and Cyril, Hilary, and Ambrose. A little further on, he adds a warning that this opinion, although once acceptable to some very outstanding men, was later characterized, notice, as heresy, and heretics condemned under the heading were called agnoite. But if we, and then this is the end of the quote, but, so this is the pious interpretation part of it. But if we take a closer look at the text of these fathers, we shall not find it difficult to interpret them in a Catholic sense. We need only attach a note to those texts, the effect that, being found in writings of those who came before the developed dogma of Christ's knowledge, they sketched the truths of the gospel in broader lines. There are many reasons for believing that those fathers, when they said that Christ as man was ignorant of the judgment day, meant that he was ignorant from, not in, his human nature. That is, his ignorance was not real, but only economic. as suited humanity in itself, or as suited the office or role he was understanding, as when he asked, where shall we buy bread for them to eat, even though he himself knew what he was going to do. For Athanasius writes that Christ's ignorance, quote, does not pertain to the word, but to the human nature of which ignorance is a property, end quote. Quote, since he was made man, he is not ashamed on account of ignorant flesh to say, I do not know, thereby showing himself to be knowing as God, but not knowing according to the flesh, end quote. Again, quote, let us acknowledge that the word, not ignorant insofar as it was the word, said, I do not know, yet did indeed know, end quote. Yeah, and then he goes on discussing the different fathers and how they absolutely could be read in a pious way on this matter.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. But basically, like, this kind of, I feel among modern Catholics, you get this a lot, especially with discussions surrounding St. Thomas. With modern Catholics, they are very, very quick to hold to, like, a magisterial positivism and just say, like, oh, that was just a church father. Like, they're not infallible, right? And then they just kind of throw them out and will be very quick to impute error to our fathers, where somebody like St. John Henry Newman, or basically the entire medieval tradition, would refuse to like be so quick as to impute error to our fathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, if you read Denzinger, he's going to cite St. Gregory's letter to Patriarch of Alexandria. So it seems that this is the authoritative interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because